I'm looking for a city built of God. We've heard some about that this week already. And if we're going to arrive in that city, then we need to have a walk with the Lord now. And he will direct us into that place that we look forward to. Welcome to everyone here. Glad you're here this morning. I trust that we can continue in our worship together to bring glory to God and also for our own edification. Let's turn our Bible to Psalm 5. I'd like to read the entire psalm, and then I want to just share some thoughts here from the last two verses. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. All right, I'm going to look at especially three things here in these last two verses that I believe are steps to God or steps in our relationship to God that will culminate in where we need to be and where we want to be in our relationship with him. And so we have here a distinct order. We have trust mentioned, we have love mentioned, and we have righteousness. And so then as we look at this aspect or concept of trust, here is where the foundation of our Christian life is laid. And trust finds its origin, I guess you would say, in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so when trust is required is when we don't, when we can't see the end in reality. We don't know what's around the next curve or over the next hill. And, you know, it creates a certain degree of trepidation or fear when we don't know what's around the corner. But when we're walking with God and we have a relationship with him and we have our hand in his hand, then there is a protection there. There is a shield. Like he mentions there in the last part, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. And so we know that in our walk with God, even though we don't know what lays around the next bend. And so, and that is also true in our ultimate end. When we come to the place of death, we've never been there before. We have never passed this way heretofore. And it's something that we all think about with a sense of the unknown. No one that has been there has come back again to tell us how it is, except for the Lord himself. And so our faith carries us through, our trust carries us through right to the end, right to the time of death. It carries us through, and we know that if our hand is in his hand, if we're walking with God, if we have a relationship with him, we have nothing to fear. It's going to be taken care of. And that's the way it is right on through life. The thought here in this original, in the word where the word trust comes from, is that of a covering or a protection. There's another case in which this word occurs in the Psalms, and that's in Psalm 57, the first verse, where it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." And so again, we have that concept of God's protection on those who put their trust in him. And we can do that safely. Psalm 57 there, the introduction or the superscription there in front of the beginning of the psalm tells us that this was written when David was fleeing from Saul. And we get this picture of David hiding inside a cave. You know, there are a lot of caves in that wilderness where he was at. And we have a number of accounts where it talks about him being in a cave. And even in the same cave where Saul came into at times. And so there he was. And we have this picture of him inside that cave. It's dark. The walls are rough. It's not a pleasant place. It's not a place where you'd want to live and stay there very long. But it was a place of refuge. It was a place for him to get away from his enemy. But in that cave, there was a lot more to that shelter or that refuge than the rough walls. And this is what David is telling us when he says, "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." And when we have that concept, you know, the rough walls kind of fade out. And we think of the wings of, well, whether it's a mother hen or whatever it is, a place of warmth and comfort and protection, security. And we have, in the sense of the Christian, we have a God who loves us, who cares about us. He knows our situation. We can safely go to him and we can find a shield. We can find refuge, those wings that overshadow us. You, maybe it's not in a dark cave. Maybe it's in our own house. Maybe it's in our loneliness. Maybe it's in a sore trial of some kind. But we find our refuge there under the shadow of his wings. And another thing to remember is that it was not David's running that made him safe. It wasn't the fact that he escaped into the cave and that he ran to that place of refuge that made him safe. It was those overshadowing wings. It was being in the presence of God. It was being God's child and putting his trust in the Lord. That's what made him safe. Maybe the Lord led him there, or maybe that was his way of going, but it was his expression was not finding refuge in the cave, but his expression was finding refuge under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. And so when we think of trust, we think of finding refuge in the presence of God. The psalmist says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." And then in the New Testament concept, We have the account there of the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch there. And when Philip was there talking to him, you know, the thing that he told him there was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What he is saying is, put your trust in Jesus. The finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, there is a trust that is rightly placed. We'll never misplace our trust by putting it in our trust in Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He is the place of refuge. He is the author of our salvation. He is the only one who can give us a true refuge and true peace as we trust in the Lord Jesus. And of course, that involves more than just a mental acknowledgement. And then he says, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, because thou defendest them. And again, that thought of defending, because thou defendest them, that's more of a, that's not such a passive term as to come under the shelter of his wings. When it says he defendest them, that is, you know, when the wolves come, when the enemy approaches, there is a response to that. And there is a defense. And it's not all up. You know, David and his 600 men were no match with Saul's army. There's no way they could have defended themselves. But how many times did the Lord intervene in behalf of David and his men? In the face of Saul, things were done, miracles happened, situations developed that gave David protection, because God was his defender. And the same is true for us. There are the times when we need the defense of God, that in situations that are much bigger than us. And we have the promise that God is going to be our defender. He will defend us. Not only a place of shelter, but also a defense. Songwriter says, cover his defenseless head with the shadow of his wings. Or to cover our defenseless head with the shadow of his wings. And so, when we think of this trust, it brings into focus, or it brings into position, the entire omnipotence of God. Now, we say that God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. Children sing that song. But do we really believe it? Are we receiving the benefits of that? Are we appropriating that truth? That there's nothing that God cannot do. And when we put our trust in God and come to him for our refuge, our defense, we are in the hands of one who is all-powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. And I'm not going to answer the question of why does God allow bad things to happen to good people. But I will say this, and that is that there's nothing that we have this promise that God is not going to allow anything into our life that is going to destroy us. There's always the power there to overcome if we avail ourselves of it. The second point is that of loving the name of the Lord. He says, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. That's step two. We're not going to go to the Lord for refuge. We're not going to place our trust in him if we don't love him. If we're like the one servant who received the one talent and he said, I knew you, that you're an austere God, and that all the things. And he was expressing his anger at his master. He did not receive the protection and the blessing that the others did, and neither will we. And so, if I'm going to love God, if my heart is truly going to respond or reach out in God, to God with a commitment of love and dedication and adoration and worship, it's because I first know and I'm responding to the truth, to the fact that God loves me. Now, that is about as basic as you can get. God loves you. And the Bible tells us that we love him because he first loved us. Anything that we do in response that blesses God or brings glory to his name or praise to him is because of that understanding that God loves us. What is it that motivates us to reach out by faith, to put our trust in him? It's because we know that he is trustworthy, and he's opened doors for us. He has shown us in ways that cannot be mistaken how much he loves us, and that's through his son Jesus and through all kinds of other ways and more minor ways that we can testify to that love. And so one reason this is important is because this concept of love, God loving us, reveals God's character. And that's important to us because God is not that angry God who is there with a stick just waiting until you make a mismove so he can crack down on you. But the God that we serve is a God who loves us and wants us to succeed. He's not going to break the bruised reed or quench the smoking flax. He wants us to succeed. He's going to fan that little flame. And he's going to do what he can to help us to succeed in our Christian life. And so, so that is his character. That's who God is. It defines him. God is love. And he loves you, each one of us. How do we know that God loves us? Well, it's in various ways he has shown that we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. That's the Apostle John speaking, the one who has so much to say about personal relationships between men, brethren, and also a loving relationship with the Lord. We will never know that he loves us unless we come to that knowledge through the road of faith. And so, again, John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And so we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And that believing is what helps us to trust our lives into his hands and builds the foundation for what comes later. And that finally brings us then to the last point, which is that of righteousness. Righteousness follows trust and love. The description here of a man who begins as a believer and then goes on to being a lover of God and then a follower of God, one who represents God and lives according to his will. And so I believe that this is the beauty, this is the blessing of Christianity, is exercise that trust, to demonstrate and respond to the love by a life of obedience. And that's what Jesus was teaching. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so when you have that loving relationship, the other follows naturally. And when we struggle with that aspect of the Christian life, it's because the foundation is somehow crumbling, or it's not sure. We don't really know whether God can be trusted. Or maybe it's because we're like the servant who only had one talent who says, I was afraid and I hid it. And maybe it's because my life isn't bearing fruit. And there's a certain fearful looking for the judgment, you know, thinking about, well, when the Lord returns, is he even going to know my name? Is he going to know who I am? You know, when the book is opened, is my name going to be in there? And we have reasons to wonder, maybe it won't be. Yeah, well, that's going to have an influence then on all the other points. Faith leads to righteousness, because in the very act of trusting God, I come out of myself. And the essence of Christian living is unselfishness, selflessness, giving myself for the cause of Christ and for my brother. And the opposite is true when I'm not living for the Lord. I become a very selfish, inner-directed person, very sensitive to how other people think and what they say, and seeking only that which pleases my own self for my own pleasure, my own consumption. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. If you want that place of refuge, if you are putting your trust in God and you want him as your defense, you go to him and you rest in him, it's because you have ceased from your own works and you are now working and living for him. It's home. It's where I belong. It's where I go. It's where I want to be. That place of refuge. And that protection that we get only from God, we feel at home there because we have ceased from our own works. We have changed kingdoms. We are part of the family of God. We are of the household of God. And we're home when we're there. We want to be there. And we want to stay there. And so when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he wasn't saying that because the load was diminished or made lighter. He made it stronger. The things that Jesus taught are directly in contradiction to the flesh and the way we would often like to do it to please ourselves. It wasn't because he lightened the load, but it's because he gives us that place of refuge. And that place of defense, and he promises to help us and to go with us, and in those difficult and hard times, to be there to see us through. Let's make that a reality. Shall we kneel in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can be a part of the family of God, that through Jesus, that he has opened the way and made it possible for us to be received by adoption into your family, that we can be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's too wonderful to comprehend, and yet we know it's true. And Lord, help us to develop our trust in you, that we would just
just forget about ourselves, not our own shortcomings or own circumstances, and just realize that you are all-powerful and that you are well able to meet our needs, to give us the place of refuge, protection, and the defense that we need. And Lord, we know that you desire that all of us, each one here, would attain the goal of eternal life. And Lord, we know that's only possible by the blood of Jesus. And it's also possible because of our being able to gain victory over sin and Satan and the flesh and all those things of the world that would draw us back and drag us away and pull us down. And Lord, we know that you are able to help us through those times of testing and temptation. Lord, we just desire that your presence would be here among us, and that you would continue to move here today by your Holy Spirit. Be with Brother Kevin as he shares a word with us further this morning. Just help us to apply these things in practical ways to our everyday Christian life. May your name be honored, and may you receive glory here today in our worship. In Jesus' name we pray.